Luke chapter number one, Luke chapter number two. Before church, I know, actually at the beginning of church, we handed out some handouts to go along with tonight's message. If you did not get one but would like one, could you raise your hand? Mr. Todd, they're right in the back. You want to go grab some for us? I know some of the gentlemen that probably sang, I know they gave them out as the choir came down, but I think some of those choir men, if you did not get one and you'd like to have one, tonight's message is a topical message, and there is a ton of different scriptures in there. So we gave these out to you so that way you can follow along a little bit or to take it with you, and that way you can be considering and just learning all the different things. So tonight we're going to try to do something that's a little bit unique. We're going to try to bring in the thought for their season or theme for the year, but also into the Christmas season. So it's called How to Have a Blessed Christmas. And there are seven different things I think that would help us have a blessed Christmas. And many of those things are verses that we've looked at through the year about God said, this is the type of life I can bless. And so from that, there is different Bible characters that are preeminent in doing these things that help them show us how God and why God would use them during Christmas time. So that's why you look at your little paper, it says how to have a blessed Christmas. If you turn it over, it has the last 4 points, but the first point has the idea, make sure you are clean. And it says blessed references, and that refers to different verses in the Bible that says blessed is, and refers to the fact about making sure you're clean. And then it says Christmas examples and gives different Christmas examples. Some of them you're going to see it actually has references next to them, but we're going to go over all of them at the same time, but not all of them would fit on there. Plus, we want to make sure that we're going to be going through it quickly because seven different points could last for a little while if we wanted it to, but I know we don't want it to last all night long, that's for sure. But it begins with Colossians chapter 1, verse 18. It says, and he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn among, firstborn from the dead. It says that in all things he might have the preeminence. Here's the key, is that Christ should have preeminence in everything in our life. Now we talk about that over and over when it comes to Christmas time. You know, it's Christ's birthday. He should be the one that takes notice, and we bring the illustrations. If you had a birthday party for someone and everybody else brought gifts for everyone else and paid attention to everyone else except for the person whose birthday it was, that would be a pretty lousy birthday celebration. And many times that's what Christmas looks like in many people's lives, is they're focused on everything else and everyone else but the one who we should be celebrating. And so this is the thought here about how to have a blessed Christmas. And we looked at this, and once again, the theme's only got a few more weeks. And as you come towards the end of the year as a pastor, it's, hey, you want to finish up all those different thoughts, but also you want to speak about Christmas. But there's a lot of different things about how to live a blessed life. And blessed, we talked about how many people look at blessed in the day and time we live in, is the idea that I have all these things, I'm blessed physically. And that's true. We have so much, but also blessed spiritually too. And I think sometime before the end of the year, or especially on maybe on December 31st in Sunday school class, we're going to talk about being blessed spiritually according to what it says in Ephesians chapter number one. Then we talk about blessed and the idea of the type of life that God blesses. And there is things in the Bible that says, blessed is the man. This is the person that God can and God will bless. And last but not least, we should bless the Lord too. That's something we should adore him. We should praise him. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. There is seven different things tonight. We're going to jump right in about how to have a blessed Christmas. So you say, I want to be blessed this Christmas. And I'm not talking about getting things, because that's all about where you are at and where you rate at and how much you have or how much others are giving you. But instead, don't we want to be blessed by God this Christmas? Don't we want to have a Christmas that God looks at and says, that's a life I can bless. That's a life I can use. That's something I can get glory out of. And so here's some things. The first thing I want you to think about is, and this is true about everything, is really a great starting point. Make sure you are clean. Make sure you're clean. Now, we're obviously not talking about physical skin things. Of course, it's always nice to be clean, but we're talking about spiritually and talking about inwardly. Make sure you're clean. And a number of things here, and that's why I said you got the references there, blessed references. I didn't write out all the verse, but if you want to go back and look at it later, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and whose spirit there is no guile. What the greatest blessing in our life is the fact that our sins are covered under the blood of Jesus Christ. If you're born again here and on your way to heaven tonight, you are clean in the idea that your sins have been covered. But then we're encouraged and told that about our fellowship with God. We have established a relationship with God once a person receives the gift of the eternal light and believes on the Lord Jesus Christ. But we must stay clean. The Bible says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We must keep short accounts of God. If you truly want to be blessed this Christmas, if you truly want to be blessed during this super busy time and want to keep Christ preeminent in our thinking and in our lives, we must deal with all those things in our life that are harming us and all those things that are making us dirty. And that's why we must learn to confess. What does the word confess means? It literally means to agree with God. I agree with you, God. I should not be doing this. I agree with you, God. I should be doing this. But it's more than just agreeing with God. It comes to the point that you agree with God and you don't want to do it anymore. Some people are like, yeah, I know I'm doing wrong. I know I just don't care. That's not true confession. Confession is looking and understanding who true God truly is. And that's what the Bible talks about in the book of Proverbs, confessing and forsaking, showing that you truly love the Lord and that you want to do what's right. You say, well, how do I know? We've gotten mixed up sometimes because we feel like what I'm doing is okay. We've learned to justify our sins. We've learned to think I'm not dirty. I don't have anything wrong. And Psalms is that famous passage. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Lead me in the way everlasting. If we truly want to be blessed, we're going to take time to say, God, I want to be clean. God, I need to be clean. God, I desire to be clean. And if we go to Him with an open heart and say, God, everything's on the table. Whatever you show me, whatever you tell me, I'm willing to do. That's something that God can bless. But oftentimes we'll go to the Lord and we don't put everything on the table. I'm willing to do all these things, God, just don't talk about that. I don't think there's really anything wrong with that. I don't think it's a stronghold in our life that we don't want to mess with. But more things in here. You see, there's more references. Psalms 94, 12. Blessed is the man whom thou chasteneth, O Lord, and teachest him out of thy law. Don't you love that? He says, you're going to be blessed if you're chastened to the Lord. What does that mean? It means that God's not going to let you stay there dirty. God's going to continue and continue and continue on because He wants you to be right. He wants you to live a life that's blessed and one that will teach us out of thy law, not of our thinking, not of our ways, not of what the world says, but out of God's law. Blessed is the man, blessed are they that keep judgment and he that doeth righteousness at all times, a person who is clean. Blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with a whole heart. Not all these things are written down here, but there's a number of them here just over and over and over in the scripture. You'll be blessed if you do what is right. Not what's right in your own eyes, but what's right in God's eyes. That is the blessed life. If you truly want to have a blessed Christmas, you can say, well, if I get everything perfect, if the dinner's just right and everybody loves their gifts, and if I can just get my family here, I'll be happy. You'd have not made Christ the preeminence. Christ is the preeminence when we say, I want to be right with you, and it's great if my family can come, but you know what? The most important thing to me this season, and the thing that God will really truly bless, is when He says, I want to be right with you no matter what. Just want to be clean. That's what He has preeminence. That's when He comes in and He's first and foremost. We should not predicate everything and we should not determine everything on if this external thing happens, then I'm going to be happy. We find our joy in Him, not in those things. And once again, it's nice when everything falls in place and it's nice when everything works out. It's nice, yes, but it doesn't steal away our joy. And we've been talking about that on Wednesday nights. Tonight, if you truly want to be blessed, if you truly want to be used by God. And that's what the Christmas story is about, right? Isn't there a number of people that God chose to use in the Christmas story that had to be trusting, that had to be clean, someone that God could use? And that's when you see the Christmas examples here, different people. And I love the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. Look what it says in Luke chapter number 1. That's why we put you there in Luke chapter number 1. This is a couple that are older, but from what we can tell, they were clean. And the fact, now don't say, hey, no one's perfect. I understand that. We're not talking about being perfect. We're not talking about living a sinless, perfect life. That doesn't happen. But people use that as an excuse. I've used it as an excuse. It kind of makes us sick because people don't want to get right because they look at it and say, well, no one's perfect. I can have, no, God wants us to have, he wants Christ to have the preeminence in our life. He wants Christ to be preeminent in Christmas. And we get tired when we see this world not doing it. But what about believers? Of course, there's people who don't know God and don't know the story. They celebrate Santa Claus or they celebrate elves or they celebrate the gifts. But what about a believer that says, I want Christ to be preeminent in my life and whatever he says is right, I'm willing to do. And that, you see the story here in Zacharias and Elizabeth. Look what it says in verse number 5. There was in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a certain priest named Zacharias of the course of Abijah, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord blameless. So you see the first thing here, you see one of the first people inside the Christmas story, which John the Baptist being the forerunner, this is John the Baptist's parents, miraculous birth here. What are they known for? Being clean, doing what is right. And then Bible character after Bible character, how's Joseph described? Matthew 1:19. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. Anna, another Bible character found in Luke chapter number 2, and she was a widow of about 84 years, which departed not from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. If you want to take your Bible over just a verse, page or two to Luke chapter number 2, look what it says in verses 25 through 27 about Simeon. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. So what's the description there? He was just, he was devout, he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Ghost was upon him, and it was revealed unto him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple, and when the parents brought in the child to do for him after the custom of the law. Look at the description of the type a person that God chose to use. He was devout. He was just. The Holy Spirit was on him. And I understand it's a different dispensation, but it's, and the idea that he was, the Holy Spirit was with him and he's being led by the Spirit. That gives an idea of being Spirit filled in today's day and time. They're being led by the Holy Spirit. And seriously, it's like he's walking and the Lord leads him into the temple. Yes, he served there, but it doesn't seem as if it's the day that he's supposed to be there. He's led by the Spirit. It wasn't out of the custom, wasn't out of his responsibility. He's just being led to the Spirit. He says, oh, that was nice. I'm glad he was there the day that they brought Jesus in. No, it's the fact that God chose to use somebody that was just and devout that would listen to the Lord. Because if he wasn't listening to the Lord, he could have missed Jesus. And I tell you, if we miss Jesus this Christmas, we miss it all. Doesn't matter how many gifts, doesn't matter how much of a good time we have. If we miss him, we miss it all. When you miss Jesus, you miss it all. And so often it's because he doesn't have the preeminence. Truly want to have a blessed life. We see God using character after character. Luke 1:30, the Bible says, and the angel of the Lord had said unto her, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. You think about it. He found, how did she find favor with God? She was clean. Once again, he had the virgin birth. He had the fact that she kept herself morally clean. I understand that, but God chooses to use clean vessels. That's what he wants. That's what he's looking for. And that's why that's why it's so important that we start off. We truly want to have a blessed Christmas. Think about it. The Bible over and over in Scripture says, blessed is the man that is clean. Blessed is the person that walks in the way of the Lord over and over. And then these are some Christmas characters. So hopefully you understand how it's going to look at tonight. We're going to move quickly. Second thing is, you see it right there on your papers. Make sure he is first in your thoughts. Once again, that he might have the preeminence. It's talking about in the church. Oh, that a church would have Christ as preeminence. Not my attitude, not my thoughts, not what I want, but Christ be preeminent. That Christ be shown in our lives. That Christ, that he be lifted up. We get so upset when the people don't want to use, they want to use the word Xmas and try to take Christ out of Christmas. But how often do we want to try to take Christ out of the church is what happens. And that's when he's standing on the outside of the door, knocking, wanting to come in as Lady Odyssean Church. Let that not be said here at Faith Baptist Church. Let us say that Christ should have preeminence in every area of our life because we want to be clean and we want to make him first in our thoughts. Remember, he's supposed to have preeminence. And here, well, you have these familiar verses. It says in Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful." So what does that have to do with your thoughts? It's, well, remember, the verses are not, they're not wholly inspired. You keep on reading, but his, it's talking about the person that's blessed. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. So what does that mean? That means God's first in his thoughts. And if we truly want to be blessed this year, truly believe it begins with being clean, but putting God first in our thoughts. Him having the preeminence in our thoughts. You say, "Pastor, does that mean I'm supposed to be thinking about him all the time?" Yes. Obviously, I know you have work. I know you have responsibilities, but he's somebody. That's what he's talking about. Praying without ceasing is communicating with him, remembering him, wondering, how does he want me to act? What would Jesus do? And all those different things. He should have preeminence in our thoughts. Am I pleasing him? That's what it means to fear the Lord. Blessed is the man that fear God. I mean, it's when we, I don't want to disappoint. I won't do anything that fails him. I want to make sure I do this right. I don't want to do things that are going to discourage him. I don't want to do things that are going to take my love for him down. So where do you see that in the Christmas story? What are you thinking about this Christmas? Meditate on the Lord and his the grace it took for him to come to earth. Think about it. Read Philippians chapter number 2. Read it every day, all the way up to Christmas, New Year's. Guess, see exactly what he came and who he what he became for us. So different things. You see here in the story, Mary, it says in Luke 1, verses 46 and 47, if you want to turn there, what does it say? It says in verses 46 and 47, "And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit have rejoiced in God my Savior." And you're thinking, what does that have to be putting him first in her thoughts? He's magnifying. She is taking time to think about God and making a big deal. He's magnifying the grace of God, magnifying what God has done in her life. And all she can do is rejoice. And if we would magnify what Christ has done for us, and we magnify that he left the throne on heaven and magnify that he was humbled himself and came, was born as a babe in that manger for the sins of mankind, you can't get past that. You have to rejoice in that, or you just don't think about it. But when you take time to meditate, you take time to let the word of God day and night to be in your hearts and life, you will magnify the Lord with them. Later on, it talks about in Luke 2, verse 19, when all the things had happened and the babe had been born, it says that Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. We have so much to ponder. We have the word of God to ponder. We have how he's working in our hearts and lives, but so often we're just thankful for just a few verses of a few minutes of reflection and don't take him with us. Mary was how all these things were happening, and she's going to Bethlehem. The inn tells her no. She goes out to the stable. She has the baby, and then the shepherds come and all those different things happen, and she took it all in. She put it in her heart and she pondered it. We must make him first in our thoughts. Simeon, it talks about in Luke chapter number 2, we see how he's devout. Remember that in verse number 25, it says that he's waiting for the consolation of Israel. He's waiting for the promises that God has given him. He's thinking about that. He's magnifying the first in their thoughts. I wonder if the Messiah could come today, because it said earlier in the verse that talked about how he had told him early in the passage of scripture, and actually in the next verse, it was revealed unto him, the Holy Ghost, that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. He's getting older. He said, could Jesus come today? Could Jesus come today? Why could we not live our lives saying, hey, look, he came that first Christmas morning. Could he return today? Could he call his church home? Anna is the same one. She served God with fastings and prayers night and day. He was first in her thoughts. Proverbs 23:7 says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. The person who thinks of him is a person who will make God preeminent. And so many times there's a lack of peace in the day that we live in. Peace in homes, peace in people's lives. Christmas, the most joyous time of year, is also one of the highest times rates of suicide too. And the Bible says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Okay, so you see your example here. Make sure you're clean. Make sure he's first in your thoughts. The next thing is make sure you're trusting him. Make sure you're trusting him. These are some of the greatest verses when it talks about the blessed life. Is trusting him. Oh, taste and see the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. Psalms 40, verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust. And you might want to mark that because it's a couple interesting words. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud. So often we show so much respect to the prideful and the proudful because they demand it. You better listen to me. If you don't listen, it's because they have pride in their life and they don't want to deal with it. And because of that, we give them attention because of the fact that sort of like the person that's the loudest is the person that gets the most attention. But that's not humbleness. That's not the person that God wants us to be focused on. He says, respect if not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Lots of times people make up things and they want to say things and we want to listen to gossip or we want to listen to the person that says, hey, you better listen to me without any type of authority or position. He says, blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Not trusting in the prideful, not trusting in those that tell lies. It's kind of interesting that how the famous people in the Christmas story are known for trusting the Lord and obeying the Lord despite some unusual circumstances. Luke, and once again, the reference that's found there is you see Mary, first Luke 1:38. Look, and it's a familiar verse, and many of these verses are familiar. This is what the blessed, he says, this is a life I found that I can use. Verse 38, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be according to thy word. She has just learned that she's going to have the Messiah, and that she had just learned. She's concerned about it. She asks the question. The angel says in verse 37, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. She's like, that's enough for me. I trust it. I trust in him, Mary. And Mary says, God can do the impossible. That's what the angel, she says, okay, that's enough for me. How come it's not enough for us? How come when God asks to do something out of our comfort zone, God asks us to stretch our faith, to take the next step, to do what he wants us to do, and we start questioning and wondering, and we were reminded through preaching, through Bible reading, through singing, God is enough that he can do all things, and how come we can't say, oh, that's good enough for me, I'm going to go do what God wants me to. That's the blessed life. It's the one that says, okay, God, whatever it is you want me to do. And you think about some of the amazing stories that's found here. We think about Mary, and then you think about Joseph, the same thing. In Matthew 1:24, it talks about how when the angel left him, it says, then being raised from sleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. Luke 2:15, it came to pass as the angels were gone away from, talking about the shepherds, unto heaven, the shepherds said one another, let us now go even unto Bethlehem. They said, let's go and see what God, they're trusting that what God had said was true. And the wise men in Matthew 2:12, listen to God and do not go back to see Herod. Matthew 2:14, Joseph listens to God and does not go back with the young child because he goes off into Egypt. Luke chapter 1, verses 5 and 6, we looked at the story of Zacharias and Elizabeth. You say, well, that's sweet, that's kind. They're a righteous couple. But if you read a little bit farther and go a little bit deeper, they are known for what? Not getting what they want. That's Zacharias and Elizabeth. We don't know much about them. We know they had this great testimony, but we also know that she was barren. We also know that they had prayed for children and they had continued to pray for children. If you read the story, many commentators believe that he was still praying for a child. And it talks about how the angel said that told Zacharias in verse number 13, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. They say, Pastor, what are you getting at? I'm saying that they are old and they did not get what they want, which was a child, but they still had a testimony that they were just. They still had a testimony they did what was right. They were righteous before God. They walked in the commandments and ordinances of the Lord blameless. They were righteous before God. They were righteous before man, even though they didn't get what they wanted the most. So often we depend and say, I'm only going to do what I want and what I think I should when I get my way. When it can be my way, then I'm going to do it. It's wrong. You're not going to be blessed that way. It's when we learn to trust in him. And we see Bible character after Bible character after Bible character that was asked to do things without much explanation. They didn't get an explanation. Say, hey, look, when you get older, you get in your 80s and 90s, then you're going to have a child, and that child's going to be the forerunner of Christ. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be wonderful. No. I just want you to trust me, Zacharias. I want you to trust me, Elizabeth. I found an older couple that loves me and that does what's right. I can bless them. That's what we need to learn to do, is trust in him. Psalms 84:12 puts it, blessed is the man that trusteth in thee. Jeremiah 17:7, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. If we would continue to understand, if we want to have a blessed Christmas, we must learn to be clean. We must learn to put him first in our thoughts. We must learn to trust him. Let's keep on going. And it says the next one is, make sure you are available to give as the Lord leads. Make sure you're available to give as the Lord leads. I didn't put as the Lord leads on your paper because it went to another line, but that's the point that's there, as the Lord leads. And it's not just give in the idea of this because, oh, it's church, they're after my money. No, it's, now who was available to give in the Christmas story? Wise men, they made themselves available. How far did they travel? How far? What did they have to give up of all that time, all that energy, all that expense, all those gifts? They were available. And the Bible says in Acts 20, verse 35, I have showed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how he said, it is more blessed to give than receive. And I think most of us would know that and understand it. Maybe children don't understand that as much, but as you get older, especially when you become parents, the great joy of giving and helping others. Think about what it says in Psalms 41:1. Blessed is he that considereth the poor. The Lord will deliver him in time of trouble. I would encourage you to put on your prayer list, God, is there something you want me to do for someone who has less than me this year? And let the Lord, because I tell you, that's one of the greatest blessings of your life, is when you can be a blessing to someone else. And I know I've had people come to me and say, Pastor, do you know of anybody in your church that has a special need? And I think that's nice. I think that's wonderful. But even outside of our church family, if you would ask the Lord, Lord, I'm making myself available to give as you lead me to, I bet you he'll give you an opportunity to give to someone. I bet you'll give you an opportunity to show the love of Christ to somebody else. And what a great blessing that is, to try to be an encouragement to others. And I'm not saying it has to be a much. I'm not saying it's a lot. You know how many times in my life we've been blessed by individuals giving and they didn't even realize the need that was there, and they just gave at the right moment, at the right time. I had a story that there was a gentleman, it was years ago, I was an assistant pastor, wanted to go to a Sword of the Lord conference, and I didn't really know how we were going to do everything we wanted to do while we were there. I think we're staying with some family, so it wasn't costing much, but food and different things like that. And somebody randomly came up to me and gave me a $100 check. And I says, what's this for? And I didn't know how he knew I was going on a conference. And he says, it's for your trip. And I was like, well, who told you about it? He says, why are you giving that to me? He says, well, the Lord told me to. I mean, that was an encouragement to me, but it was even a great encouragement. I said to him, I graciously accepted it. Says, I hate taking gifts from other people, but sometimes God uses that way, and we should be willing to. And that was a huge blessing to that individual. I don't think they realize how much that increases a person's faith. Make yourself available for whatever the Lord wants you to do. And I'm not saying don't do it because a pastor told you to do it. I'm saying to do it because what God has instructed you and leads you to do. Put it on your prayer list and say, God, what can I do? And it could be a meal. It could be even spending time with someone else. It could be some type of monetary gift. It could be reaching out to others. It's more blessed to give than receive. And we see that the giving that the wise men did, they just made themselves available. You show me the light, I'll follow the light. I'll follow even when it gets dark, and even when I had to go talk to Herod, I don't understand what you're doing here. What happened to the star? Where's the child? You know, he followed the light. Make yourself available. How can you make yourself available? Number one, you got to be clean. Number two, you got to put Christ in your thoughts. Number three, you got to be able to trust him. After you've done those things, you made yourself clean and you put him first in your thoughts and the thought first and what he wants you to do, then you trust him. Then you say, Lord, whatever it is you want me to do, whatever it is you want me to give, however it is that you want me to spend, I'm willing to do. And even though we don't like to always talk about it, the Bible does talk a lot about helping those that are without. We don't always know how to do that today because we live in a world that's full of scam artists. We live in a world of people trying to be deceptive and take advantage of other people. I understand that. Get as close as you can for God. Make sure you're clean. Make sure he's first in your thoughts. Let him lead and guide you. Trust in the way he's leading you, and then make yourself available to give. Then the next thing is, make sure you make praise a priority. Make sure you make praise a priority. The last three all have the same thing, a priority, a priority, a priority. Why is that? Because he's supposed to have the preeminence. Make sure you should have praise. And so when you look at this, this is a little bit different because it doesn't say blessed is the man. Instead, it says bless the Lord. I love that verse in Psalms 103, verse 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. That means every part of me. And how does that ever happen is when I start by being clean. If he's not preeminent in my life and me being clean, I can't bless him with all of me. But when I'm clean and I'm right, I can bless the Lord of all my soul, all that is within me, bless his holy name. We are supposed to adore him. We sing that song, oh, come, let us, right? What do we do? Adore him. We worship him. We kneel. That's the reason why many times we end our cantatas with that song, at least with the children. And today was with the whole group, and they did such a wonderful job. And this is why we kneel. There's a reason why we kneel. There's a reason why we adore. And it's interesting if you sit there and you say, well, what's your Christmas example? All of them. They all worshiped him. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. We must learn to make praise a priority. I put a few here. Luke 2:20, the shepherds. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. Going through this story, and I've read the Christmas story how many times, you know, tons of times, preached on it for, you know, 20 years now. And today was the first time when I thought about it. The shepherds, the angel came and told the shepherds. But you can imagine if the angels had told somebody else, anybody else, and they went and saw the babe and they told everybody in the town, you know who would have never heard? The shepherds. Nobody would have ever thought, let's go tell those dirty shepherds out there, those outcasts, let's go tell them. So you know what he did instead? God went to tell the people that nobody else would have told. And what did those people do? They go out and they tell everybody. He says that they glorifying and praising God for all the things that they heard and seen as it was told him. And then you also see Matthew 2:11. And when they were come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. Do we take the time to worship him? We need to make praise a priority. You see it over and over. You see Simeon praising him. You see Mary praising him. You see Zacharias praising him. You see Elizabeth praising him. You see Anna praising him. You see everyone taking the time to praise God. We must. There is no choice. If you truly want to be blessed this Christmas, you must take time to praise him. Because what does praise do? It puts you in the proper perspective. It puts you in the right mindset. It puts you, I know why I have to be clean, because he's God and he deserves this. I know why he must be preeminent, because if he's not preeminent in my thought life, you know what's going to happen? I'm not going to trust him. And if I don't trust him, I'm not going to make myself available. And if I don't make myself available, I'm not going to be able to praise him, or I'm not going to praise him because there's so many other things going on. Next thing I want you to see here is make communicating about God a priority. Make communicating about God a priority. So where do you see that in the scriptures? Look what it says in Psalms 118, or listen what it says in Psalms 118, 26. Blessed be he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. It's the person who's approaching, I'm coming in the name of the Lord. When we go and tell people, hey, we're from Faith Baptist Church, the Lord, we're out telling people about the Lord. We're coming in the name of the Lord. We want to go reach this world. And you talk with others about who God is. I'm not just talking about witnessing. Of course, we should do that too, but we should communicate about Jesus all throughout the season. He should have preeminence. It should be routine in our conversations. We should be saying, you know, God is really good. The Lord's really good. I'm so glad he came. Talk to your family about it. Teach children that. Make him preeminent. Preeminent, preeminent. Don't just talk about him inside the church house. Talk about inside your house, inside where you work at, inside with your neighbors, all those different things. You say, where there's believers and Christians, well, they shouldn't be upset at all about you talking about Jesus. They should chime right in. There is so much. We should talk about him regularly. Who do we see doing that? And we see the shepherds here in Luke 2:17. It says, and when they had seen it, they had made known abroad the saying which is told them concerning this child. Okay, last but not least, make mending other relationships a priority. And I almost left a Christmas example blank, because I would think I was going to ask the question, well, who would that Christmas example, who in the Christmas story is mending relationships? You got Zacharias and Elizabeth? Not really. You got Mary? No. Joseph? I guess Joseph kind of mended the relationship, but Mary had done nothing wrong. And you think Simeon? Man, so who did it? That's the reason why Jesus came, right? To mend relationships. I thought that was good. And the idea that he, the Christmas character that came was, he says that in Luke 19:10, what does he say? He says he came to seek and to save that which was lost, right? He came to mend relationships. Jesus came to restore the brokenness caused by sin. Where there are broken places in your relationship, seek his help in restoring them. Even if you didn't break them, where there is brokenness in hearts and lives around you, be an agent of grace, connecting God's grace to needy hearts. Zacharias said this in Luke 2, verses 30 through 32. Actually, no, I'm sorry, not Zacharias. It says, "For mine eyes have seen thy salvation, which thou hast prepared before the face of all people." It's Simeon. It says, "A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of the people of thy people Israel." It's he came to lighten our eyes. He came to give us light and to give hope, something we should connect and be a part of. And I know we spent a lot of time, so I'm not going to harbor on this, but deal with unresolved conflict. If the whole point of Christmas was Jesus is coming and restoring a relationship, redeeming people back, reconciling, shouldn't we as believers and Christians be a part in trying to have this world reconciled unto God, but also a part as other believers to reconcile our relationships when there's sin has gotten in and caused unresolved difficulties? As I mentioned, don't focus on rupture relationships. You focus on rupture relationships, it's going to destroy. Christ is no longer going to be the preeminence. That rupture relationship is going to be preeminence. But do your part in everything you can to make sure you're right. So if you want to have a blessed Christmas this year, if you want to have a blessed Christmas, make sure you're clean. Make sure you put him number one in your thought life, meditating day and night. Make sure you trust him, because when you're thinking about him, I don't know if Joseph would have thought a little bit more. I don't think I can do that. Mary's like, what in the world is this happening to me? The wise men, oh, I'm tired. I can't make that trip. The shepherds being like, oh, that was just a hallucination. You know, all those different things. They trusted in him because he was preeminent. They trusted in him. They made themselves available, and God was able to bless them because they praised him and because they made communicating him a priority. And yes, the mending the relationships, you say, that might be a little bit of a reach, but if anything, that is the main point of Christmas. There was a world that was lost and dying and could not get to God on their own. Nothing they could do could get them to God on their own. But God came to man. He died for us to provide a way to mend that broken relationship. This Christmas, what the great celebration would be if we would mend the broken relationships. And instead of that being what's first in our mind or our thought life, how much we disdain that individual, disdain that person, dealing with the issues and the problems. We cast down the imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity and make Christ preeminent once again, instead of making someone else preeminent. Let's pray. Dearly Father, Lord, help us tonight. Lord, I truly want to have a blessed Christmas. Lord, I want in this day and time when we're all so busy and have so many things going on, Lord, help us to remind us what the Bible says. This is what the blessed life looks like. And then we also see these characters in the Christmas stories that were blessed and used by God. How many of them line up with these things that we've already saw throughout this year, that this is what the blessed looks like. Being clean, trusting, putting you as first in our thoughts, talking to others about you, praising you, being available to give, Lord, and mending relationships. Lord, help us today. Help us to learn to live for you. Help us to do those things that honor and please you. Blessed are the peacemakers, the Bible says. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.